You take a sip of water, because I'm going to start recording right now at the most inopportune time.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm going to take a sip of water. Good. I'm going to start recording.
Yeah, why not? That's how it works. That's how we do things in the studio.
In the studio.
Yeah, it's like the club.
Yeah.
But the studio.
Right.
So, while you're busy.
The living room, kitchen, dining room table.
The everything table where we record our show.
Great.
Yes, this is awesome. This is prime stuff for you. This is content.
Yeah.
This is stuff that people need to know.
They do. They do need to know that.
Yeah, they need to know.
We have one table.
In a living room. Which consists of our
living room, dining room, kitchen, eating area.
Yeah, it's all the same. On the fourth floor. Technically. Alright. So, this is, alright. Post-production.
Are you German now?
Post-production. Alright.
Me a fever. She laid her hands upon my head till I was burning up. I woke alone. I was still burning. The fire was all that was left. All that's left to you. It was always you. It was always you. It was always you. It was always you. I cut through the brush. I followed your scent to find the way to you. To find the way to you.
This is the fourth floor, season 3, episode 2. The decisions we make. I think that's what I titled it.
The decisions we make.
Yeah, I don't know why that.
That's what it looks like it says on this.
On our outline.
Piece of paper.
On our piece of paper.
I didn't read the title.
You didn't read the title?
No.
Just kind of like, this is what I'm going for.
I read the outline.
Okay.
I don't know how I skipped the title.
I don't either. But that's okay. It's okay. So, we figured this week we would start off. Just talking a little bit about the fact that Harold Ramis died.
That was a little sad.
It was really sudden, though. I think that's what made it kind of sad.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he had been, like, old and, like, sick for a while. I mean, he was 69.
Yeah, that's a fair age.
Yeah, I mean, he died from a weird blood disease. I mean, he apparently had been struggling with it since, like, 2010.
Oh, no, I didn't read about exactly what happened.
Yeah, it was a blood disease that he had gotten, like, back in 2010 that finally
succumbed
to.
Yeah, it's not good.
So, yeah, I mean, it just makes me sad because he was a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, well, I only knew him from Ghostbusters. I didn't know he had done all of this other work.
Yeah.
Sort of came out afterwards. Everyone was sort of like, oh, by the way, he did all of this stuff as well.
Yeah, Ghostbusters, I think, was a lot of people kind of remembered him for.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, while I was getting ready for the show tonight, I kind of decided to talk about this a little bit differently than whole, like, bodies of work type of thing. I was kind of, like, thinking, like, how Harold Ramis is kind of like an icon of our generation.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we were having this conversation a while back about, like, the fact that, like, Johnny Depp is now, like, 50, and Brad Pitt is, like, 50, and, like, all of our musicians are, like, 50.
All of our idols are slowly,
like,
you know,
becoming
getting older and dying.
Yeah, but then I was, like, trying to, like, think of, like, because if you think about it, like, a lot of our idols kind of started out when we were our kids' age.
Yeah.
Like Harold Ramis and
right.
Ghostbusters and that kind of stuff was like when we were like
really
three and
little
between like 3 and 5.
Yeah.
So like I'm trying to like look at like these actors today and going, who is gonna be like this new like these new icons of like
our kids?
Like entertainment.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like there are as many.
Right.
Because there's sort of, but there's a shift I think in entertainment anyhow, so that there aren't as many like, you know, kids aren't watching like Ghostbusters and Batman and, you know, like we even said earlier today, what we were watching on the about the history of
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Indiana Jones. Like there aren't as many like these like live action adventure sort of movies and television shows that kids are as into, I guess.
There are, but like you have like the Hunger Games and stuff. But
that's still not little kids.
Though. Yeah,
that's
I know.
Still like teenagers.
I know, because even as little kids we were watching like Ghostbusters,
right.
And like Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Nothing like that for them.
Not as much. I mean,
well, I mean, I guess technically people would say you can do like the Marvel movies, but
maybe.
But even
but
then, they
the
kind
same.
Of like they, it doesn't feel the
no,
same.
No, no, those Marvel movies and all of that kind of like I mean, I guess maybe Harry Potter, but I think even that was still more
yeah, but,
our generation. Than
yeah, but I, even then, I don't think Daniel Radcliffe is gonna be like
no,
an
no.
icon like you have like Bill Murray
yeah,
and
no.
like.
And that's not something that like our kids
Robin Williams
grew up with. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I think just the entertainment industry is a lot different. There's a lot more
focus on like one shot type of
or
thing.
Or CGI.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say Chris Hemsworth, the guy who plays Thor, because he's been in a kind of a lot of stuff.
But
even then, I don't know. It's weird.
Because I'm thinking more of like TV shows. We watched we watched TV shows that were like a staple. You know, not only like Saturday morning cartoons, but then you had like, I don't know, for me, you know, every morning I'd watch something before I went to school, you know, like, I guess that's even still
watch,
old school.
I didn't watch
like,
TV before I went to school, but I know what you mean about, like, we had like the we even had like that block of shows like after
yeah,
school.
Yeah, exactly, like Carmen Sandiego
yeah.
and like Ghost Rider and, you know what I mean, not to say that those contain people who were like, you know, necessarily idols, but I do still remember, it was really sad, like, when Carmen Sandiego died, because that was somebody who was, you know, an icon for us, but I don't think there are as many, you know,
yeah.
for somebody who's, like, Eli's age, like, 3 to 5, I can't think of anything myself, but maybe also, too, because he's not at that age where he has...
And he's we don't really watch TV,
right.
TV.
But, and that's what I'm saying, I think a lot of the, and I think there's a big shift in entertainment. There's not, I don't think people are watching just a regular, like, broadcast network TV quite as much as they're, you know, playing video games, or they're on the, you know, on Netflix, and
right.
they're watching YouTube, and they're watching internet videos, and, you know, they're doing those kinds of things, as opposed to, you know, watching TV.
Well, you know, and I'm take that a step further, too, I would say, you know, because I agree with what you're saying, we're not watching as much television, but not only that, but it would also seem to me that entertainment is kind of becoming all-encompassing.
Yeah.
Like, children have Pokemon.
Right.
So they have the video games, and then they have the TV show, and then they have the movies, but there's no, like, actor attached to that.
Right.
Like, even, like, we had, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live-action movies, but you name a single actor behind
no
any
idea.
Of those like costumes
no
or anything
idea.
Like that, or even the girl who played April.
Yeah, no, no
or,
idea.
Or Casey Jones.
No clue.
Yeah, Casey Jones.
I have no idea.
Or Shredder.
Yeah,
or,
no. We like, only know who was in the costume.
Right. We don't even know who was in the costume.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We know the costume.
It wasn't like Ghostbusters where you had
right.
like you had Dan Aykroyd, Bill
right.
Murray.
But I think there were more shows that were more like Ghostbusters. And less like Ninja Turtles that, you know, we were watching.
Right. They still had a Ghostbusters TV show.
Right. I mean,
that was
you know,
a cartoon, I think.
It was a cartoon.
Yeah.
And that just like the Ninja Turtles had a cartoon and a
right.
live action show.
Right.
And what's also funny about both of those is they both started off kind of like an adult property beforehand.
Right.
Like in our generation, you had RoboCop.
Right.
Right? And RoboCop had a cartoon. Now, RoboCop as a movie in the 80s almost received an NC-17 rating because of the amount of violence and blood. But they then sat there and went, hey, you know what RoboCop needs? A cartoon and action figures.
Yeah.
So, it's funny that we then take offense and we were like we were saying last week or last episode about Call of Duty having action figures like
right.
in the toy aisle. When
right.
then I like think about the fact that RoboCop, which is like probably one of the most like violent movies I've ever watched, had its own set of like action figures and a cartoon series.
But that's a little different to me though, I think. Because
how so?
Well, because that's a video game and you know what I mean? Everything that comes with a video game, playing the game, the immersion of the game and all of that kind of stuff, as opposed to like a movie that, you know, an adult probably took their kid to go see, you know what I mean? As opposed to, like, you know, Call of Duty or Halo, that's, you know, that almost becomes, I guess, like a habit. You
right.
know what I mean? And that's something that they're, you know, not like a...
I can see what you mean, because...
I think a parent who buys Halo for their child probably has a lot less of an idea of what Halo is all about than a parent who took their kid to go see RoboCop.
Right, because a parent who took their kid to see RoboCop, the original RoboCop, not the remake, or was probably thinking exactly along the lines of how I kind of view movies and we kind of view movies, which is these are fiction.
Right.
And this is actually good for what we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show.
Well, and you're there with your kid. You're
right.
there watching the movie with your, you know, kid, if you took them to go see RoboCop, and then, you know, to sort of explain and talk about what that is. At least I think parents were more aware of the content of the media. Whereas now, you know,
mm-hmm.
kid says, hey, here's Halo in the toy store, this is awesome. Parent has no idea what that's about, but it's in the toy section, so
right.
sure, why not?
Well, but not only that, video games have always kind of been a toy to begin with. They've never
right.
really been this, there has never been a public opinion of video games as something more than just a toy.
Right, and not anything that's necessarily for adults, you know?
Right.
I think a lot of times when you say that you play video games, immediately there's a stigma about it being sort of childish.
Despite the fact that most of the people I know who play video games are all around my age.
Well, yeah, the target audience for most video games is, what, like 18
to
24, 26, 30, about?
18 to 30-year-old males.
Right, exactly.
Pretty much.
Right, but most, you know, again, because I think most parents who are like us and older grew up with video games being sort of more of a, like you said, like a toy, something that's it's not, you know,
mm-hmm.
designed for adults. So I guess, you know, in their ignorance.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So let's jump into what we've been up to before we get into a little bit more. We forgot. So obviously, let's, you know, our condolences to Harold Ramis and his family. It's sad.
It is sad.
But he will be missed. And let's get into our weeks.
Okay.
So, this past 2 weeks, again, because we're doing it every other week on this recording, I haven't really been up to much different than what I was last week, really.
Yeah, no,
we've
it's been
watching,
a quiet
we've
week.
We've gotten through pretty much the new episodes of Breaking Bad. So now we have the last 8 episodes of the show to watch for that. And I've been pretty much just finishing up my Dark Souls kind of anticipation, which
it's coming out soon, couple weeks,
like next week.
Wow.
Yeah, like 9 days from now.
Oh geez.
Yeah, so I've been pretty much preparing for that. Video game wise, I've downloaded a couple games off of PlayStation Network, the PS Plus for free. Remember Me was free this month.
I didn't get into it much.
I didn't really enjoy it too much.
Yeah.
The combat was kind of bland.
Yeah, it was sort of a stale game.
And then even when they introduced that cool element of being able to rewind and edit and remix people's memories, it needed, I guess, too specific of a goal, right? It was too specific of a combination of what you needed. Like, the first one you had to do, that was what was driving me nuts. Because, like, if you did one thing wrong, it failed the whole memory.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
so
little...
It failed the whole objective. And so, but there, and the one thing that I kept missing was this tiny little thing that I didn't even notice the entire time. But I thought I had done each and every single time.
So it was very stagnant, like how you
yeah,
were supposed to actually.
Yeah, it was.
use that feature.
But there are really no clues as to what I was supposed to, like, what those combinations were.
Right.
Like, it gave you, like, 7 memories, but if you went past the memory, then it reset the memory back to what it was. So you had to, like, go all the way at the beginning and then, like, do one, then do the next. But you had to, like, pretty much guess the entire time. It didn't really seem like there was much cohesion or logic behind it. It just kind of seemed like a random sort of action.
Sounds like it's something really cool that they thought was going to work really well, but that just didn't really...
The whole game kind of felt like it was something where they were like, oh, this is going to be really cool. And then I guess development costs kind of started chewing themselves in, and it just started not really working at all. I don't really... There are a lot of promise, a lot of game ideas in there, just not, it felt flat.
Maybe too because of the kinds of games that you've been playing lately as well, though, that sort of made it a little bit less enjoyable?
That might have been it, but even then, the combat was very boring. It was just dull. There was no tension to it. It was kind of like, it was sort of rhythm-based, but it's just, the combo system didn't really have, like, any kind of real good flow to it. It just didn't feel enjoyable.
Yeah, I wasn't very interested in it.
I mean, if I wanted to play a game along that kind of, like, futuristic dystopian type of...
Yeah, why not just play Bioshock?
I would play Bioshock Infinite, or even, you know, play refine Deus Ex Human Revolution again and play that, because that game was fantastic, despite the boss battles kind of being, you know... boss battles, which were kind of out of place, but outside of that, that game was great on all levels in terms of being able to, like, dropped into a world, the world feeling alive, and then being able to kind of figure out your own way through. So, yeah, Remember Me just didn't really do it for me, but it was free, so I didn't pay any money for it.
Yeah, you can't really complain about free.
Yeah.
So you did a lot of complaining.
Yeah, I know. It happens.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Nothing much this week, or these past few weeks. We did have our first free night, which is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, we got to go to a concert. That was really nice.
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't really quiet. When I say quiet, I mean no children quiet.
Oh yeah, free night.
Yeah, free night.
Free night.
Saw Murder by Death.
Oh yeah, that was really fun.
Definitely shaping up to be one of my, like, top 5 bands of all time.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
Fans of them for a long time. Anybody who's listened to the show from the beginning has probably heard
a couple of their songs here and there.
So, yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
Except for the guys at the little mosh pit that was, like, next to us the entire time.
Yeah, by the way, this is not a band that you mosh to. Drink to. Drink lots and lots and lots of alcohol to. But, no moshing. But either way, we were right up front. It was really cool. It was a good venue over at Autobar.
Hey, the show has interviewed people at Autobar.
Nice.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, MC Lars.
A person.
Alright, let's make himself sound a little bit more important.
That's right. Maybe one day we'll get lucky and interview Murder by Death.
I mean, I have a feeling if I had just, like, probably sent them an email beforehand, they probably would have been okay with it.
Yeah, probably.
And most of those smaller kind of band type of people, independent bands, are usually pretty okay as long as you email them enough in notice in advance to kind of be like, hey, you're going to be in this area. We'd like to do an interview.
Right.
Most of the time, they're okay with it.
Yeah. Oh.
Especially when you're, like, a local kind of thing.
We'll
Next time. When we have a, you know, a laptop that doesn't require constantly being attached to something.
It's like a lifeline.
it's on life support.
It is.
Right. Don't pull the plug.
So I guess, kind of a boring couple of weeks for me.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. We're parents. Yeah. Our day-in, day-out routine pretty much consists of me working, you being home with the kids, me coming home, taking care of the kids while you cook, then getting the kids to bed, then doing dishes.
And then going to bed.
And then pretty much maybe watching an episode of Breaking Bad before sleep. So yeah, there's really not much to our week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like weekends, even we don't really get much.
Soon enough. Soon enough. Baby's getting bigger.
Yeah, soon enough we can then ship them to the grandparents. Yeah. And be like, they're your responsibility for the day. Bye bye. So we looked around the internet, the interwebs this week, and we found a couple. Two interesting articles, not necessarily gaming articles, I almost looked up there. The first one, about Josh Cooley from Pixar, who, he has a project that he called Movies R, as in the letter R. Fun. And what he did was he recreated all these famous scenes from these R-rated movies as cartoons. And, you know, you were the one who pointed this out to me, and I thought it was actually a really cool idea to talk about.
It was a really cool concept, either way.
It was a cool concept,
yeah.
But it does kind of tie into this whole idea of what the title behind the show is, the decisions we make, because we were discussing the other day about how we decide what we view. You know, this was kind of a conversation we wanted to have about how we decide what we let our children view based on the situation at hand.
Right.
And so when you have, like, obviously cartoons, like he's done here with, like,
R-rated material.
Like Frank from Donnie Darko, our child would look at that and go, oh, that's a cartoon.
Right.
That's cool to watch.
Right.
But then it's like this obvious adult situation. And we were discussing how we don't really approve of adult situations in, like, children.
Right.
Like, that there was a difference between, like, a child's, almost like genre, like we would consider animation, we would almost consider animation a children genre.
Yeah, most animation. Yeah. Because, you know, there's South Park.
There's South Park. Oh, yeah, but obviously, you know that South Park is...
It's for adults.
It's for adults.
Well, we know that it's for adults.
Right, but Eli would look at it and go, this is a cartoon.
Right.
Why can't I watch the cartoon?
Exactly.
With the boys.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'd put it, too.
Right.
So, you know, but it also is kind of interesting to think about, like, some of the Disney movies that have been coming out recently, particularly, like, the Pixar ones, where they have these adult situations.
But that's always been in children's movies, I think. And a lot of people also, I think, make the you know, comment that a lot of times the adult situations and themes and jokes and all of that you find in children's movies are meant for the adults who are, you know, usually there watching whatever with your child. And I get that, I guess, you know what I mean? Which makes it, you know, at least somewhat enjoyable for me when I'm watching Thomas, you know, mind-numbingly, you know, which I guess Thomas doesn't have as many, but more, you know, more like along the lines of, say, I don't know, Rescuers Down Under or whatever. But yeah, I've been paying a lot more attention to seeing these very adult-themed situations happening in these movies that are for kids, and it's sort of, I would rather just let him watch an adult movie so that at least then he understands that this is a movie for grown-ups, and these situations are situations that grown-ups find themselves in, not something that you will find yourself in. I mean, there was one scene in, I think I was watching, you know, The Rescuers, and the, you know, the detectives, or maybe it was Mouse Detective, one of those, and so, you know, the Mouse Detectives are in, like, a bar club sort of situation, and, you know, one or two of them, if not, you know, a larger group of them in, you know, the audience are obviously, like, you know, inebriated, and then on the stage is dancing, you know, a female mouse, and initially she has on, like, a dress, she's fully clothed, but she's singing a song, you know, that's, like, very, like, risque, like, I'll give you what you want if you just let, you know, if you just let me, whatever, and then, you know, so she goes behind the curtain, and she comes back out, and she's wearing, like, a garter, and, like, you know, a dress that's, like, you know, above her hips. And it's kind of like, I guess I feel like that's not appropriate in a children's movie, because that's not a situation that he would find himself in. And so how do I explain to him that, you know, no, this is a kid's movie, and this is for you, but the stuff that's in this kid's movie is for adults. I feel like I would rather just let him watch something that's for adults.
Like Edward Scissorhands.
Right, so exactly.
Or even, like, Ghostbusters.
And Edward Scissorhands has a scene in it that is sort of similar, you know, where the redheaded woman sort of, you know, is trying to seduce, right, Edward Scissorhands. But I feel like there's a separation there, because then I can tell him, you know, we're watching a grown-up movie.
And this is a grown-up situation.
Right.
But I mean,
and then there's grown-ups in it.
But then I guess obviously a question would come up then is what situations, when does it become appropriate for maybe a more childlike movie? You know, how do you define
what's too adult?
Yeah.
I guess that's the problem, and that's why I don't really limit, you know, his viewing when it comes to children's movies. I know it's there, and I know that it could come up at some point. What I worry more about is sort of the, like, subliminal sort of stuff that he's getting that he's not really going to ask about. It's just something that's sort of shaping his ideas about
does shape his ideas of femininity.
Well, in that particular case, yeah.
Yeah.
But, or even if, you know, even sometimes, you know, the more violent sort of things, or, you know, sort of drug references.
That's what we were watching today, and I was kind of like, there's that whole scene at the end of the movie where the one rat who initially caused all the kingdom to fall apart because he was in the soup and the queen died from a heart attack after seeing him.
Right, they see that.
He then turns because the one girl was bought by the king.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a whole scene on the farm where they come and they want to buy these pigs.
Right.
And they buy her and she becomes a slave to the...
But also, more interestingly, if you didn't notice about that, not so much even about the qualities of females, but also, if you notice, the girl that they chose was a heavyset girl. They made her look like a pig, and then they sold her along with the pigs and sat her with the pigs on the truck that she's being carried away with. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there are these, like, ideas and these thoughts and, you know, that I think he's forming about what life is like.
Right.
That he may not be asking about, but he's seeing it.
Well,
you know,
and
what
the problem is that it's presented in a kid's movie, and I don't think any parent who would have seen Tale of Despero and seen the cute little mouse on the cover and not have picked it up and watched it with their kids without realizing what was in it first.
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, he's not going to ask anything about her character, that girl's character. Meg, I think her name was.
Right.
Because if you watch the entirety of the film, it ends up being that she was just cold-hearted because the princess was mean to her the entire time, telling her she's ugly and she could never be a princess. Even the farmer she was living with, you could never be a princess. You're ugly. You're hideous.
Right.
And then the jailer ends up being her father, who couldn't take care of her, so he gave her to the farm to kind of take care of her. And she had, like, this... The only reason he remembers her is because there's a birthmark on her neck that looks like a heart.
Oh, okay.
And there's this whole thing about how she had such a big heart. She had such a big heart that it couldn't stay all the way inside of her. And so, you know, but he's...
But think about that, though.
Yeah.
But think about what they're teaching her, or teaching about her, is that, you know... She may be ugly, you know, because she's big, and she may never be a princess because she's big and poor and ugly.
But
don't worry, because she has a big heart. You know what I mean?
But she does end up being a princess because her father, who's the jailer, calls her his princess, and that's the. But he's not picking up on that.
Right.
He's not picking up on these plots. You know, when the narrator starts explaining how all this kind of settles down, Eli's only looking at it, going, "Okay, bad guys." Gone.
Right.
Everything's fine. And
right.
They went and she went back to the farm.
Right.
He's not paying any attention to the fact that the narrator's talking about the fact that she found that she was always a princess all along because she found the guy who really cared for her.
Right.
Her.
But she wasn't a princess proper. She was a princess in her in her own mind.
Right.
And I think that's where I have the problem, is because you will never see a proper princess who is a big character, you know, who is whatever, but any, not just big, any kind of non, you know, conformed sort of, you know, appearance-wise, you will never see that portrayed in a movie, and that's where I think I have the problem, is because he's already forming what these standards of, not just beauty, but, you know, love, death, relationships, violence, you know, all of these kinds of things, and I feel like those are such, you know, adult sort of topics.
I mean, if you look at all, almost every movie I've ever seen, child's movie and otherwise, at some point in time, I'm trying to think of a movie, except for maybe like, you know, Mr. Holland's Opus or something like that, but all of these like kind of like Disney movies, even like Toy Story 3, at some point in time, the only way the characters can resolve the conflict at hand is through violence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, typically.
Yeah.
Typically.
But, I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, except for, like, adult movies, it seems
right.
Like most of the time they teach children that violence is justified when you're doing it for good reason.
Well, yeah.
For good cause.
And I don't necessarily have as much of an issue with that if it's in a setting where it can make real sense. But, like, I think that those kinds of topics, in a children's setting, where you're talking about toys, or you're talking about, you know what I mean? Like, you're talking about a child's world, but you're bringing in all of these adult problems into it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or at least if they were going to sort of portray that you have to, whatever, fight for what's right and all of these kinds of things, I feel like I wish it were done in a way that children would understand a little bit better.
Well, but it's never portrayed in a way that talking out your problem with the characters have with the antagonist is even a solution.
Well, but that's not. But I mean, but you can't do that because that's not exciting. That's not. You know what I mean?
But that's not. I mean, if we're talking about children's movies where we're trying to teach children these values of good.
But that's the problem, I think, is that we're not using entertainment and media to teach anything.
Right.
We're using it as
strictly
entertainment. And I think that's where there is that big disconnect for parents when it comes to choosing entertainment. Because, I mean, of course, if I have to watch, you know, whatever kids movie 1,000 times, yeah, it would be nice if it was entertaining. You know what I mean? And same for my kids. Of course they want to be entertained. And I don't have a problem with entertainment. Entertainment, as long as it's, you know, obvious that it is just that it is just entertainment,
right,
is fine. But I think that, like you said, all too often, that is the only core story. That's the only theme that there ever really is. It's the, you know, good guy, bad guy. Good guy gets the girl, fights the bad guy, and,
right,
you know, is victorious.
Right. Well, but then, you know, we mentioned Thomas the Tank Engine. We mentioned, like, children's shows.
Right.
Like, obviously, for toddlers.
Right.
And they tend to have a distinct opposite of movies that you would consider appropriate for toddlers.
Right.
I mean, in Thomas, most times, the Tank Engines and the Tank Engines and the Steamies have their little...
Yeah, there's some problem.
Their little tiff with each other.
Right, there's some
And
issue.
Usually what ends up happening is that they end up acting violently against each other and then end up having to talk it out because the violence actually made it worse.
Right.
So it's almost like this... It's almost as if the movie industry itself is stuck. Whereas, like, children's television programming has already kind of figured, it comes from a different mentality.
And I think, but I think it does, though, too, because, I guess less often, you know, we've never taken Eli to a movie. He's 3. We haven't taken him to a movie yet, and probably won't for a little while more. You know what I mean? So maybe there is sort of a gap in, you know, actual mental maturity between, say, you know, toddler age and then, you know,
when you would
a
consider
young
movie
child.
Age. But we'd still
right.
watch movies at home.
Yeah, we still watch movies. And, I mean, as odd as it sounds, and maybe it's like hardcore conservative, but like in my heart of hearts sometimes when I see certain things in certain movies, I really wish he wasn't seeing those things. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, and again, not because of what it is, not because of the actual content, but the way it's placed. Like, it feels underhanded to me. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like they're putting these sorts of things in these movies sort of underhandedly, under the rug, instead of sort of facing them head on. Maybe that would be different, too, if they were sort of, you know, tackling these sorts of issues, like, out in the open instead
of... I kind of do that, too, in video games, too. I mean, think about video games that are designed for children.
Right.
And I'm talking about, like, Mario, like,
right.
Nintendo-type product. Mario has to fight enemies
right.
to get where he wants to be.
Right. To
Pokemon,
save the princess,
you have to train
yeah.
your monsters so that they can then fight.
To
so
save
you,
the princess.
Well, there's no princess in
well,
Pokemon,
it's
but you become the best. No, Misty is just another trainer.
Oh, okay.
The whole point of Pokemon is to become the best trainer
oh,
and get all your badges.
Yeah, I never watched
yeah, but
Pokemon.
I mean,
I was a little...
I mean, obviously they have, like, games that are made for kids, like, I guess would be Eli's age, but when I look at these games and I look at the price tag and I go, am I going to justify paying 50, 60 bucks for a game that he's going to play? Like, we bought the Toy Story racing game and
right.
he... plays it, but he's kind of just
yeah. He's not quite he can't physically
yeah
master you know the
uh-huh.
skills necessary to play that quite yet. He's
right.
he's getting there.
Right.
So, but yeah, something like that is fine. You're racing around a track, like there's not much
right.
more to it.
But
so.
But that's what I mean. Am I gonna spend 50 to 60 bucks for something he doesn't even
no
yeah
no.
But so
not yet.
Yeah, not yet. yeah. Give it like 3 or 4 years before it starts really asking for video games.
Maybe 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Five and six year olds.
I guess that's about the age.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I mean, obviously, that, you know, this cop topic came up from the whole Pixar movie, the whole Josh Cooley Movies Are Fun project, and because when I looked at, and we'll post a link, obviously in the show description, but you can go to www.cooley. And that's a. .bigcartel.com and Cooley spelled COOLEY and obviously we'll post a link in the show description but you know because that's kind of what made me think of it was this like you know those scenes like from the Pulp Fiction where Samuel
right.
Jackson's about to shoot the guy in the diner and it's like this cartoon and a kid would look at it and go that's a cartoon
right.
like it like you know there's the whole Die Hard one too where it's like it has season's greetings and he's got a pistol strapped to his bag.
But then I wondered too though that actually brings up another important thing. So I wonder too then if certain thing you know movies that were sort of like that were marketed in a sort of children's sort of package. Do you think more parents would be more apt to buy those kinds of things too, not knowing?
I think they kind of already do with video games too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think that's sort of a marketing ploy. I mean he's selling.
I mean you can buy the prints on his website.
Right.
I mean, but yeah, I think it is a marketing ploy that video game companies in particular use. I think Hollywood has kind of learned to kind of try and like you said, be a little bit more underhanded with it,
right.
and leave like the really over-the-top violent blockbusters. Even now, they're starting to really kind of push that limit, like to what you can do. Because I mean, think about Transformers. That's pretty violent, lots of explosions and all sorts of stuff. PG-13 rating.
Uh-huh.
It seems to me like Hollywood kind of.
But PG-13 is still, I think.
PG-13 at least is fair.
Yeah.
There's no there's no blood. There's no language. There's no nudity.
Right.
You, as a parent, they're pretty much saying, under 13, this is probably not appropriate, but if you want to take it to them, that's on you.
Right.
But, you know, even, like, the new Marvel movies are all PG. Even Batman. I mean, Dark Knight Rises is PG-13.
Yeah, see, that's a little...
And I would never take a 3-year-old to watch that. Even The Dark Knight, I'm like, I can't watch that around Eli, because I'm like, this is scary.
Yeah, no,
like, how is this rated PG-13?
Right, yeah, because I guess PG-13 in our day was, like
PG-13
something that was okay to watch even as an elementary school kid.
Yeah, but not anymore. Well, no, gosh, in our day, PG is something like Willow.
That's what I'm saying.
And there's, like, nudity in that,
right.
and all sorts of, that's PG.
But I guess
that would
be
PG-13 now.
But I don't know. Maybe it depends. But I guess that goes back to the context. What are you know? What I mean, because I don't have a problem with the violence. I don't have a problem with the blood. I don't have a problem with nudity. Yeah, I don't have a problem with him seeing a naked person. I just don't. That's part of being a human being. But if that kind of stuff is, if I find that in a Disney movie, which I found, then it becomes a little suspect to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm watching Edward Scissorhands with him and I know this is, you know, more adult,
right.
Or we're watching something that may not be, you know, a kid's movie, but it's something that is appropriate for him, and it may happen to have, you know, for example, National Lampoon's Vacation, funny story, Eli loves that movie, and there are, you know, a few things in, there are a few things that are sort of questionable, but it's I can explain it to him. Maybe I'm justifying it because of the context of it, but I feel like I would be really upset if that was a cartoon version of that, where
right.
he saw that as a cartoon version.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if it was a cartoon, I probably wouldn't let him watch it. But because it is a movie, and it is...
Because it gives you that sense of realism that you can then explain that this is something that adults handle.
Right.
Instead of, like, a cartoon, which is kind of... I see what you're saying.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. That makes a lot of sense. So I'm trying to figure out a good way to tie this in, but there really isn't.
I guess we'll just move on.
Yeah, we'll just move on.
I think we've talked enough about that.
Yeah. so we wanted to talk a little bit about Twitch gaming, because that's kind of been Twitch TV, Twitch.com has been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah.
And you know, we had Twitch Plays Pokemon, which recently just ended, which had, at some point, I think 15 million views. And that was like a month long thing. You have the fact that the PlayStation 4 is now instantly connected to Twitch.
Is it always connected?
It's not always connected.
Oh, okay,
but
you can just...
instantly stream with PlayStation 4. So we wanted to talk a little bit about Twitch, exactly what... Not necessarily what that is, because I think at this point a lot of people understand that Twitch is a channel similar to YouTube.
Well,
and,
I didn't know.
Yeah,
I
well,
would,
it's,
would,
it's a channel
no
similar
idea.
To, like, YouTube and... Hulu and Netflix, except for you're watching live players play a video game at that time.
Right.
So
it's live streaming.
It's live streaming.
Right.
So you have like the article that we found from NPR about the father and son who play.
Right.
So they'll go on to their channel and they'll announce ahead of time, hey, come to our channel. We'll be streaming tonight from this time and this time. And people watch. Well, now... Twitch now has more viewers per month than Netflix,
right.
Hulu,
yeah.
YouTube. It's gotten to the point now where it's like, it's a community almost, like it's a Twitch
not
community.
Not almost, I would say, yeah,
it's
no, I would
community.
Say it definitely is a community.
But, I mean, and there's a lot of good to this.
I think it's a good thing.
It's a good
it's
thing
really
for, the,
cool.
for the gaming community. I think, you know, you get a chance to kind of unite with other gamers.
Well, it's a good utility too, even
yeah.
beyond just
you get to stream your content as you're going along, so you get help instantly because you got a chat room going where you can talk to people and you know. And I think that's good. I think anything that builds kind of a community in which people can connect over a similar hobby is a good thing. Now the problem I think that starts arising is the fact that you know I've been on plenty of websites. I don't know really how Twitch determines your age.
Right. I was thinking about that as soon as you started.
But I've been on a lot of websites where it's like, what's your age? And it's like,
right.
I've told websites I was born in 1911, and they're
right.
like, okay, come on in. And
right.
it's like, I'm 103 years old using your website.
Right. But I mean, that's illegal. You know what I mean? They probably have to do that legally. They're not truly checking your age.
But that's kind of what I mean. Like,
yeah.
How much access to
unlimited access. Like if you were to just let your kid, you know, hop on, they're 7-8 years old and they find twitch.com and you know what I mean, maybe you're not quite aware, I'm sure they'll probably see something you probably didn't necessarily want them
right.
to see.
And then the fact that they also are, you know, they can now use this as a marketing tool.
Oh yeah.
Because Twitch has subscription services and then they have free services. They have a subscription-based model, and then they have a free model. So the free model means you get advertisements. Now, what they have found, though, is that most people use free.
Of course.
And just rather deal with the
oh,
advertisements.
Yeah.
So what has
then started happening is that now the marketing reps are starting to think of how they can use Twitch to advertise.
Right.
So you're now having even more marketing being directed towards your child than
before. Yeah, I think I remember in the article somebody said, like, this is, like, you know, essentially open season for, you know, reaching young males in terms of marketing.
It was a person from Lionsgate
film.
And she literally, I forget her name, I should have written it down in our notes, but she literally said, you know, pretty much along the lines of, now we can have another avenue to reach our target audience of 15 to 25-year-old males.
Right. From a movie,
right,
you know, production company, which, I don't know, I guess this is also sort of maybe a good topic for another time, but I know we were talking about, you know, what the shift in media is, and also if, you know, if and how rapidly video games are becoming more like movies.
Right, well,
in terms of the entire, like, production value of it, not necessarily,
I forget what that movie was with, I think it was Russell Crowe? I forget who it was. I think it might have been Russell Crowe. No, it wasn't Russell Crowe. But it was about the movie where you, like, the player played the game. Like, there were, like, people that they were actually controlling, but it was, like, a video game.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. You know I'm awful with names,
right,
and
but it had
names.
It had Michael C. Hall in it as the villain.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of what Twitch obviously isn't the same thing, but that movie came out 4 or 5 years ago, way before Twitch was kind of maybe around, but it wasn't
right.
like what it is
but,
today.
Yeah.
And, you know, esports are now, like, this new rising kind of, like...
Oh, yeah, people have been pushing for esports for years, but now they've become legitimate.
Right.
People get big money sponsorships.
Well, not only that, the U.S. government recently made it so that esports contestants could apply for temporary visas to come to the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So you now have Koreans who can now get pass a temporary visa a lot easier to come to the United States for tournaments. Yeah, that was like a bill that recently passed like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. No, esports are like the
Yeah,
new
no,
game.
They're serious. Yeah, like, no, but I know that, you know, in recent years it's been this big joke, you know?
Well, but that's also why now you have issues of net neutrality starting to come up, because all these internet service providers who are only charging you $50 a month are having...
Only?
I know, only. But are having, like... network, like, sites like Netflix and Hulu and Twitch
right.
and YouTube.
Where you're getting, like, massive amounts of content. And,
right. Are now making millions upon millions of dollars off of people who are only probably making... They're probably making, like, a tenth of what the sites are making now.
Right.
So now, all of a sudden, now
They want their piece of the pie.
Right. So they want to charge you more for
yeah.
using their sites. They want to
But, I mean, I think that definitely ties into the fact that people are just... They're using the internet more as a multimedia
right.
service. They're not really... You know, we're not really watching TV.
Yeah.
And
the ISP tells you that it's because it slows down the internet for everyone. I haven't seen... A decrease in quality of internet performance, unless, of course, like, we're all using something in the same house.
Right.
Other than that, I haven't seen a decrease. In fact, For us.
Yeah, no, probably.
But I've seen an increase in internet connectivity and the ability and speed since I remember the days of AOL to today.
Oh, yeah.
And even DSL to cable.
Well, but I think if you're a purist, there are slowdowns the more people are using it. And I have if you're on the PlayStation and the computer is in use and I try to use my phone while maybe you have your phone connected as well, I will find sometimes there is, you know, a hiccup. But it's not, you know, for me it's not a big deal.
I don't think it's as bad as the ISPs make it seem.
But maybe it is for people who do, like, you know, more like online gaming and things like that do require you to have, you know, a quick
But I think a lot of the people who do online gaming, like, competitively, like, and maybe even professionally, have also kind of wisened up to the fact that we use
we use Wi-Fi.
Right.
The direct connection
is far
superior. Yeah. If we were to just connect the PlayStation straight to the internet.
Oh yeah.
Or just the computer straight to the
internet. There would be no problem.
There'd be no problem.
Right, but then the user has to sacrifice using multiple platforms that you can all plug into one modem.
But I don't think the ISP is suffering from us using the Wi-Fi that way. Because it's all coming in from that all being channeled through that.
No. I mean on the user end. The user end as purists, people who, you know, want the fastest speed.
I'm mostly talking about from a net neutrality argument
standpoint.
I think the ISPs really don't have a leg to stand on.
I agree with that.
Because I don't think our neighbors all of a sudden when we're all using our phone are going, those damn neighbors are using all the internet right now.
Yeah, right.
I think it has more to do with, you know, the processing power of our computer and the PlayStation and our phone.
Right.
And then the Wi-Fi router itself is what's giving us that power.
Right.
I don't think it has anything to do with them needing to feed us power. It's not like they're like their data centers going, we got to give apartment 3A more power right now.
I see. I thought you were talking about on the user side.
No.
It's going to explode at any moment, Nick. All right, there's too much internet.
Internet. But, so Twitch does obviously pose a couple problems in terms of the fact that this was the same thing that happened with Netflix a couple years back. When Netflix first announced that they were going to split themselves in half, that they were going to literally have a separate company run the DVD section and then a separate company run the streaming section, it was because companies like HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, AMC, all the television cable producers were getting upset at the fact that Netflix was making more money
on their movies
and stuff than they were making in subscriptions.
Right.
So that's why you don't see stuff from HBO on Netflix. Because HBO went, no.
Yeah, we'll just make our own.
Because they wanted to try and kill Netflix. They failed.
Well, no, they failed. But I think plenty of people
And you know what's really funny about the net neutrality thing, too? Is Verizon is, like, the big, like, we need to slow down how much access you have. Guess who owns Redbox?
Is it Verizon?
Well, they own the Instant side of it.
Really?
Yeah, so why do you think they're so pushy with the Redbox right now?
Right.
Now that
the Instant Redbox?
Yeah, they can kill Netflix, right?
Or try to.
And then you have to stream through Redbox. They can try to. And then you have to stream through Redbox, and then Verizon's going to come in and say, oh, you're using too much streaming.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, you know, people aren't paying attention to that. Well, I think they are, because I haven't heard anybody talk about Redbox since then.
I didn't even know it existed until I saw it pop up on the PlayStation.
Yeah, that's another thing that kind of bothers me about that. Like, I tried deleting that. It won't go anywhere.
Yeah, probably not.
No, it's like no, I'm here. You gotta deal with me. I'm like, no, I don't want you on my computer.
Then they have to remind you that the option is there. Okay?
It is kind of funny that Verizon's kind of pushing the Redbox Instant, but then also sitting there going, we're going to need to data cap you, okay?
They haven't actually begun doing that, though, have they?
They have.
Oh, wow.
They won the case against the laws, the shootdown against the law for net neutrality.
Oh, good.
The FCC is challenging it. It hasn't gone all the way up to the Supreme Court yet, but they've already won a victory.
Right.
I mean, obviously, they probably chose a federal judge in a state that was probably, you know, a little bit more business-friendly before.
Yeah.
It got moved to the next level.
Right.
Because, you know, when you're dealing with a national, you can probably find a judge, pick and choose your judge on where you're going to file that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Verizon could. I'm sure that wasn't an issue for them, picking and choosing that. That's kind of how business works, though. Have you noticed that? Like, these multinational, like these national companies kind of, like, pick and choose where they, like, start these, like, lawsuits.
Yeah, of course.
Because they know which judges are going to be
it's a business after all.
Their job is to know.
It's smart. They're doing it. It's smart business. I can't even deny that.
Yeah.
Whether I like it or not.
So, and I mean, we had something else on the list. I think we pretty much covered.
Yeah, I think we've covered it all.
I think we had a good episode. I don't think we need to. I think we can save this for next week, for next episode.
I think that's sort of tied in.
I think we've already kind of discussed. All right.
Well, and that's the show. We will make sure again. That's coolie.bigdartel.com if you're interested in the movies. Are fun.
Oh, also, my birthday is Tuesday. I will be accepting cash gifts.
Cash donations through a PayPal account that we don't have.
You can just send it to me directly. Yes. I won't mind.
So we'll be back in 2 weeks. And until then, thanks for listening, and take care of yourself.
By the light of the moon, I'm coming home. Howling all the way, I'm coming home. On my hands and knees, I'm coming home. I know when I've been beat, yeah, I'm coming home. Don't matter where I've been.